Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line is Steph Duplessis. Steph, good morning. How are you? I hope that song helped you to get going and motivated.
Howard, how's it been a while? How are you?
It has been a while. Haven't spoken to you for some time. But I'm well. But of course I do have my moments. You know, I started working, I think, around about the 6th of January. And I found it was hard. I was working remotely. I was all dressed up, but had nowhere to go. And I battled that first week. It took me a while to try and get the familiar cogs turning. I would imagine a lot of us are feeling that.
Howard, I think if you're not feeling that, you're not normal. I feel like that. I sure as heck feel like that. I watch my daughters work from home, watch their husbands work from home, watch my one daughter homeschool, watch my clients. It's complicated. So you said morning mayhem. That made me think of maybe this is more like lifetime mayhem right now. And you mentioned the Blue Monday. If anyone is here looking for anything that will help them on this Blue Monday, I have nothing. I don't think it's about changing today. I don't think it's about making this week better. I think that it's a longer term thing than that. I think it's about purposeful living. And if we look, we lift our eyes and look ahead. It was that beautiful quote. I haven't thought of it for years. What is it? If you face the sun, the shadows will fall behind you.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
So if you want, we can unpack that a little bit.
Well, I would like to. I think so, because I can tell you that on a personal level, what helped me in 2020 was purpose, helping people, educate people around COVID, supporting our listeners as we went through.
And what a job you guys did at that.
In fact, it helped me. It feels kind of selfish because I benefited from that. And that is really what you're talking about.
What giving is about, it does something for us too. How the days before our lockdown started, I was still working in Australia with local government. Got back here. I was still working with clients until a day, 2 days before lockdown. And then suddenly when it all started, I started questioning my life's work. I mean, I've been doing what I do for 30 years now. What is it that I do? I work with organizations, large and small, helping them to engage their people and to create winning workplace cultures, helping organizations to grow their people so that they would behave like they have a stake in it, but with a real purposeful call to action. And when COVID came, I started questioning everything I was doing because I worried that what I was sharing with individuals, with organizations was thin, that it was stuff that would help people during the good times. And it took a while. And then I realized that's not true. The message that I had been passing on was timeless. Purposeful living is not a fad. It's not like a New Year's resolution. It's not like goal setting. And then I realized that I could get back to the stuff that I used to do, because on the long term, it remains. A while back, I read a good book by David Graeber, professor at the London School of Economics. Book was titled, and I'm sorry for the potty mouthness of this, but the book was titled Bullshit Jobs. Right. I'll call it Bull Dust, right, in which he shared his research that everyone, he says, is in a bull dust job. That we're a little bit like King Sisyphus rolling that boulder up the hill for all of eternity, only to find every morning that it had rolled down again and we have to start over. And I don't think it's about our jobs. Sometimes life feels like that. And Graeber came up with this recipe. It's not a simplistic thing. It's not a recipe. I hate recipes. It's not a two-step program. But Graeber said, if we can figure out how our job benefits other people or how our job makes the world better, our job will be less bulldust, which connects back to what I've been clinging to for as long as I've understood his work, is Frankl's work, where Viktor Frankl said, our primary motivation is the pursuit of purpose and meaning. And where in 1946, he said, you find purpose by doing one of two things: by committing yourself to people other than yourself, or committing yourself to a cause greater than yourself. So I'm not suggesting that Graeber, like, plagiarize his work. I'm saying it's timeless. Those are the two things. Commitment to other people, I think that starts with family. Commitment to other people and figuring out how what you do matters. And it does matter if you can just figure it out. I'll share one last quick thing just as a foundation, and then I'll hand back to you and we can explore where we go next. But just yesterday, I was listening to a little clip by Warren Buffett. And he spoke of a very dear friend of his, a lifelong friend, who was an Auschwitz survivor. And she helped him to understand that what really matters is relationships, committing yourself to other people. And he learned from her that her test became, will they hide me? These people around me that I associate with, the people that take my time, the people that I hang out with, would they hide me? And like, there's the question. Build relationships, says Buffett, that when you're 70 and you look back, so I'm not quite 70 yet, but heck, I'm getting there fast. When you're 70 and you look back, that if you asked yourself, could I make a list of people that would hide me, that you would have names for the list. And if you do that, then Blue Mondayness sort of fades. It doesn't go away, but you learn to cope with it. You like get through it.
I'm absolutely blown away by that, because I think so many of us invest in relationships where maybe they wouldn't hide us. It's such an interesting.
I think there are few people that would hide us. And here's the snag: if Grebe is right. How I've been doing what I do for a long time. I've worked with hundreds of thousands of people in the organizations that I work with. Massive organizations like Barclays and McLaren, and small organizations that employ fewer than 100 people. And I've always experienced this thing firsthand, that we are boulder rolling. Doesn't matter of your level of seniority. I spoke on Friday with a guy in the UK who I'd met the day before. I was doing a session for a group of UK MDs. He came back to me, said to me he wanted me to work with his team. He's just bought a yellow Lamborghini, and he's asking me about what can he do to give his life more purpose and meaning. It's the same for all of us. And in the organizations that I work in, it's being exposed to people, everyone is boulder rolling. And the guy next to you is boulder rolling, and he or she goes home empty and broken. Whether you're working on a conveyor belt, or the person digging ditches next to you, or the executive in the chair next to you in the boardroom, they all go home empty at night with nothing left to give to the people that matter most. And if we can help them by ramping up the way we do things at work, we are committing ourselves to other people. And that conscious decision alone has to have an impact on how we feel about our life today, where we're headed, and how things are going. Don't you think?
Absolutely. So I just want to tell you one thing that I found fascinating is, as you were talking about it and you were questioning your work, is I do a, you know, I'm, as everybody knows, I'm involved, when I'm not at Chai, I'm at, involved with Synthesis. And there you establish something called the unwritten ground rules, where you work through it with people. And you should know that those unwritten ground rules have become fundamental and were fundamental in helping the company through the COVID time of last year. In other words, things like around here, we set each other up for success. Around here, so you should know that, quite contrary to thinking that it's only for good times, what I saw was understanding unwritten ground rules of a culture and values of a culture actually helped maybe even more during difficult times.
Howard, yes. By the way, Synthesis, as you know, we're speaking about doing something again. Right. One of my favorite clients of all time. Say how's it to Michael and his awesome team.
Right. Well, obviously, I don't want to make this about Synthesis at all. I always
correct,
hesitate whether I even mention the name on air.
Ground rules. But, well, that's the other part of my work. UGRs, unwritten ground rules. Website is UGRs.net. Helping organizations. Organizations in some 50 countries so far have used this system, created by my Australian business partner, Steve Simpson, have used this system to engage their people and to create what we call unwritten ground rules, the way we do things around here, but in a way that if someone watched us going about our jobs, they would see us doing it without us having to, like, put it on our value statements. And those unwritten ground rules exist everywhere, by the way, in all organizations. And they sometimes sound like this. Around here, the only time I get spoken to by my boss is when I do something wrong. And when we understand what those unwritten ground rules are, we can change them. But that's a whole different conversation for another day. That's the one part of what we do. The other big part is the conversation we're having today, helping individuals to care enough so that they would be willing to demonstrate a little bit of extra effort, willing to demonstrate that they really are in the game. And in order to do that, they need a call to action beyond profit, shareholders, and customers. And that call to action is, Howard, there are really three things that impact mostly on our lives. Our relationship with God or the universe, pick one. Our relationship with what I call our kidney recipients. That's closer than who would hide me. My kidney recipients are the people that I would give both my kidneys to today.
Amazing. Right.
And I am crystal on who they are. And my relationship with those people impacts my life. And then my relationship with the people at work. But of those three, the one that has got the biggest dogged impact on our lives are our relationships at work. I'm not saying more than your relationship with God. I'm saying because it's 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day, it's the biggest constant in our lives. And if your work sucks, dude, your life sucks. But if we change that, if we feel that we are making meaningful contribution, it doesn't have to be aimed at the profit, the outcome, the shareholders or the customers. It could be, if I do my job better today, number one, I'm left with more in me when I drag myself home. But secondly, I'm helping the guy in the trench next to me to go home with a little bit more left to give. That's purposeful work. And if we can just connect these dots, then how would it transcends how do I get through Blue Monday? It sort of gets down to how can I, and I speak for myself here, get through my blue life. Because I'm not an intrinsically motivated people. Life is hard. Howard, life is tough, dude. And I have to be conscious about doing things that matter.
And right, absolutely.
Nothing else like really is sustainable. Howard, you want to come in there quickly. You know what really summarizes the best? Heard this years and years ago. It's like the difference between the law of the school and the law of the farm. The law of the school says you can crib by cram, by not studying all year, and then the night before the exam, you quickly read the notes. Life demands the law of the farm, where you have to fertilize and plow and plant and water and nourish, and then harvest. Nothing changes today. But Howard, next year changes if we change the way we behave today. Small things. A random act of kindness. Howard, let's stop. Otherwise, we'll go on all day.
It's absolutely fascinating. And I was chatting. In fact, I was at Exclusive Books last week, and I was asking, as I always do, just because I'm totally book obsessed, what they were selling, what was moving, what wasn't moving, and the manager at one of the branches said, "What's interesting is they're not really seeing real trends at the moment, but what they are seeing is the consistent sale of man's search for meaning." And if that doesn't tell us that, what this is all about, and we can very glibly say, lockdown isn't a concentration camp, but in fact it is very difficult, and it has been hard, and we shouldn't discount just how challenging, these times are. And as you say, it's about finding longer term meaning and not just a quick fix. We've spent so much of our lives as well saying, well, are you an optimist or a pessimist or a realist? And, you've got to change your way of thinking. And I read a great quote on the weekend in one of the books I was reading. It's, this optimist unfortunately falls, off the Empire State Building. And as he's falling and falling and falling, he gets to the 30th floor and somebody shouts out the window, "How's it going?" And gives him a thumbs up and says, "Yep, so far, so good." And I thought, thought, you know, that really resonated. It's not about empty optimism. It's about knowing where you're going working around that.
I envy people who are intrinsically optimistic. I honestly am not, and I have to graft really hard at trying to do small things that matter. And gratitude, Howard. Dude, we're not in this alone. Down the road from us, there's somebody like worse off. My one daughter did something called Alone Together during COVID to fund out of work small entrepreneurs. Howard, the car washers at the malls, the beggars at the stop streets. Business is down for them because traffic is down. We're not alone. If we just get that we're not in this alone, that alone helps me to like put one foot in front of the other. And it has to end. This too will end.
Absolutely.
And those of us that are around will come out better, I hope. Howard, it's always great speaking to you. Thanks for having me.
Nice speaking to you. That's Steph Duplessis. He's an author, speaker, intervention leader.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.